60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. I promise you, I got a fine guest. He's joined live via Zoom. He is Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, Marquette University Law School polling. And Charles, I always appreciate when the new polls drop, you usually accommodate, make time for the Devil's Advocates. It is a rarity when I don't find you here, like in the happy hour, like you know, now, sir. Welcome back.
You got to make time for the devil when the devil calls.
Well, Charles, you come bearing interesting polling news. We got a horse race going on in the U.S. senatorial. I guess it's the Dem race because they haven't yet picked a nominee to go up against Ron Johnson. But amongst the Dem, lots of candidates. And suddenly we've got a horse race, at least amongst the top two. Where did they stand, Charles?
Yeah, it's tightened since where it was in February when we last polled. Mandela Barnes is still in first place at 19%, but Alex Lazary is at 16%. Sarah Godlewski at 7%, Tom Nelson at 5%. We also asked about all 11 candidates, but none of the others reached more than one percentage point of support. For Barnes, that's a little bit of a drop from 23 in February to 19 now, while Lazary has climbed from 13 to 16, and Godlewski has gone up from 3 to 7, though Nelson did not move. Now, I got to say the margin of error here is plus or minus 6.6 percentage points. So these are numbers with a margin of error around them. Don't forget that. But I do think we see a tightening of the race. Interestingly, though, 48% are still undecided in this race. So there are an awful lot of votes sitting out there to still be picked up by somebody. This is far from over.
Charles,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Did you poll the U.S. senatorial candidates in the same way as you had prior? Last time I thought you would ask some questions, basically, had you heard of this man or woman? Different ways of asking the questions. Did they change between the polls, Charles?
Right. No, we asked exactly the same questions about the top four candidates from the February poll, but we did not ask the favorability and name recognition for the other seven candidates, since none of them got past one percentage point in vote support. I think we can probably safely assume that they're name recognitions have not changed very much either over that time. If we had seen anyone start to break out and start getting 3 or 4% or 5% of the vote, then we certainly would go back and ask about favorability about them next time.
Charles, let's talk about the other big, nominee race, the Republican race for the gubernatorial nomination. And it had been a pretty well-formed race. We knew Rebecca Clayfish, effectively the front runner. And then we had Kevin Nicholson, this businessman. Well, he was trailing. And then we had, Rantham back in the ether somewhere. But a new entree into the race. And you bemoaned, if anything, as we booked this fine appearance by you, Charles, you said, well, I wish they'd have given us some heads up. We would have polled to Michaels. So Michaels didn't appear in the poll.
No, because he didn't announce that he was getting into the race until the poll was more than half finished. So at that point, it's way too late to go back and add someone halfway through the survey, more than halfway through. Here, there's been very little change, though, among the three that we've asked both times. Clayfish is at 32, Nicholson at 10, Rampton at 4. Those first two went up by 2 points apiece from last time. Rantham went down by a point, and 46% say they don't know who they'll support. So with Michaels entering the race and 46% of the votes still on the table, there's certainly the potential for that to shake up the race. The other thing is that he's apparently buying a very substantial amount of advertising here this week to kick off his
campaign. Already started seeing his ads on television locally here in the Madison market. Michaels is up on the air.
The report I saw was something over $800,000 in the first week. So that's a big buy. And on the Democratic side, remember, Lazary and to a lesser extent, Godlewski have been advertising recently, and they both seem to have benefited from that by moving up in the polls. So we'll see. Also, Rebecca Clayfish could start advertising with Michael's entry and Nicholson, too. So the bottom line is, I wish he had made up his mind a week earlier. It would have made my life easier, which is all that really matters. But we'll have him in the poll next time, and we'll see how much he really has shaken up the race, or whether Clayfish's support actually is pretty solid and his entry may not upend things. We'll just have to wait and see.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got pollster extraordinaire from Marquette University Law School polling, Charles Franklin. Charles, I haven't seen Tony Evers' ads up, maybe a few, but he was also polled, not head-to-head with any of the Republicans, but against his own approval-disapproval ratings. So what do the voters of Wisconsin, or those polled by the Marquette Law School, what's their interpretation of Governor Evers?
Evers is still in a net positive position, not enormously so, but steadily so. So in this sample, 49% approve of the job he's doing, 43 disapprove, a net plus six. In February, it was 50-41, so a net plus nine. So it's a little bit narrower now, but still net positive. But on his handling of coronavirus, an issue that might come up in the fall, 60% approve now, 38 disapprove. And that's a big boost from last asked in October when it was 53-40. So I think Republicans see shutdowns and school closures and things as something Evers is vulnerable on. But on just how he handled coronavirus, he's pretty positive and has been throughout the pandemic. And on education, an issue that we're seeing a lot of talk about and considerable concern on, 51% of approve of how Evers has handled education, 38 disapprove. So a net positive there. And finally, on the question of, is Tony Evers someone who cares about people like you? 54% say he does care. 40% say that's not who he is. So across all of these net positive numbers, not overwhelmingly so, but pretty solidly so, and in every dimension we asked about.
Charles Franklin, now I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you recall back in the summer of 2018 how the incumbent governor Scott Walker was doing in the plus minus approval disapproval? Let's say June-ish, if you recall.
I don't remember the numbers exactly, but I will tell you that with Governor Walker, what we saw was a consistent 2 or 3 point net approval rating. And when he was going on to victory, that would move up a little bit. And when he went on to defeat, that number went down a bit. His absolute low numbers, though, were actually in 2015, when he was very net negative. He recovered a good bit from that by 2018, but of course not entirely, and he didn't go on to win.
Charles Franklin, my fine guest, pollster extraordinaire. Let's talk about the guy who is on the ballot, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. How's Ron doing in the plus minus, the approval disapproval?
Yeah, let me say cares about you, because it contrasts interestingly with Evers. 39% say Johnson cares about people like them. 50% say he does not. Those are almost the inverse of Evers' numbers. But also for Johnson in 2016, shortly before his reelection, those numbers were 43% cares, 39% does not care. So that reflects a pretty substantial net minus 11 underwater on this question. On the favorability of how's he doing, 36% favorable, 46 unfavorable to him. And that is a couple of points better than where he was in February, where he was a net minus 12 in February, net minus 10 now. And that also, like with Walker's recovery, Johnson was deeply underwater on favorability in 2015, but in the spring of 16 started to move up. Now, here we're just seeing a 2-point move in net favorability. That's not much, but it's not nothing. But we'll have to wait and see whether he can improve on these numbers as the campaign moves on, as his advertising kicks in, and whether he can pull that trick that he did in 2016 of managing to recover from being well underwater.
Charles Franklin, my fine guest, how about voter issues? What matters to the voters, according to the polling you've just dropped and we're sharing, going inside the numbers with our fair audience? But what do you think are the most important issues, according to current polling, amongst voters in Wisconsin?
We asked people how concerned they were about five different issues. Inflation overwhelmingly is the top issue. 69% very concerned about that. That's risen from like 38% last summer. So, and is up again from the previous poll by a little bit. Public education, though, is at 50% very concerned, the second highest. Illegal immigration, a good bit lower at 38%. Crime in your community, sort of surprisingly low at 27%. And the lowest of all, and the lowest yet recorded for this, is the coronavirus pandemic. Only 22% saying they're very concerned about that. That one has followed cases. As they go up, people get more concerned. And now that they're down, less concerned. We've heard so much talk about crime as an issue, and maybe it will be. But when it comes to the issue of crime where you live, that clearly is not the top priority. But public education could be at 50%.
Charles, you had mentioned to me before we went on the air that crime in the community you live in is more of an issue where they listen to us in Milwaukee. Tell us how that expresses through the polling, sir.
Very much so. And I think this is an important policy issue for us all. Forget the politics of it for a minute. But how do we make the lives of people better? And this is an issue. Here we asked it a slightly different way. Do you feel safe from crime going about your daily activities, or do you worry about crime in your daily life? In the city of Milwaukee, 63% say they feel safe, but 37% say they are worried. That's almost doubled the next highest, which are in the Milwaukee suburbs, where 19% are worried. In the Madison area, this is the Madison media market, not just the city of Madison.
Sure.
17%. In Green Bay, 10% are worried, 90% feel safe. And in the north and west of the state, 14% worried, 86% feel safe. So I think you really do have to appreciate that Milwaukee is different in this.
Charles, I'd like to keep you over if I could and like to talk to you some about what I would describe as the big lie. But before we get there, I wanted to ask you, voter sentiment amongst the parties, amongst the partisans, do we see stronger sentiment, and were you trying to determine if one party or you know, Dems or Republicans are someone more engaged, to your opinion, Charles, based on the polling?
Our data show that they're equally engaged. 57% very enthusiastic to vote in the fall in both parties. Some national polling has found Democrats less engaged this year, but that's not what we're finding here. We had Republicans up maybe 2 or 3 points in the previous couple of polls, which is not a lot, but it's dead even now. And if you average the three, there's virtually no difference between them. There was little difference in 2020 either, but enthusiasm was about 10 points higher for both parties then, in keeping with low turnout in a midterm.
Well, one of the issues I think that has been engaging to the right, I certainly know it's been engaging as a metric of media. I've seen right-wing talk radio get Goliath, monstrous sort of ratings since the big lie has really been propagated. My words, not Charles Franklin's. My fine guest, he is a pollster extraordinaire from the Marquette University Law School polling outfit, and they drop new polls, and we always ask Charles to come around, and he generously has agreed to stick around for a conversation about what Crudy calls the big lie. Come back, more Devil's Advocates, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. My fine guest, Charles Franklin, sticking around. Yeah.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Got a fine guest. He is Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, Marquette University Law School polling. They got a new one out today. And Charles, I use the vernacular. I call it the big lie. But we've got gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish saying, I believe today, well, I suspect the last election was rigged. And I suspect many Republicans feel the way that she at least expressed her opinion today. Charles, what is the confidence level on the last election, the 2020 presidential, when you polled the people, especially the Republicans? I guess I'm most curious about them.
Well, I think Rebecca Clayfish is reflecting the opinions within her party, but not in the electorate as a whole. 64% say they're either very or somewhat confident in the accuracy of the 2020 election. Just 35% are not too or not at all confident about the election. And that's a 2-to-1 balance that we've seen since we've been asking about this in 2021. But among Republicans, it's a very different story. There, 62% are not confident in the election outcome. Just 36% are. So really, you have a Republican Party that's nearly the mirror image of public opinion at large on this issue of the 2020 election. Democrats, perhaps because they won, are 94% confident in the outcome of 2020. But so are 59% of independents. So again, you see that the majority Republicans who are doubtful of the election are not out of step only with Democrats, but are out of step with independents as well.
Charles Franklin, I thought your polling outfit did a very clever ask. And the ask was, well, how confident were you in the spring 2022 elections? And of course, you've got the data. The people just express whether or not they had confidence issues with the 2020, the Trump election, or lack thereof, depending on your math. Charles, how did they answer? How are Wisconsinites feeling about the spring election?
And we asked this the same question wording about both of these, just referring to two different elections. The spring election was very much a different story. If let's go on the doubtful side for a second, 35% were doubtful about 2022, but on the April election, only 14% had doubts about it, and 84% were confident in the spring election. You know, what's different here? Well, we've had months and months and months of Donald Trump and many Republican leaders claiming that 2020 was fraudulent in some way or not accurate in some way. And Trump's followers accept that message and echo it. But we've not heard people of either party claiming that the April election this year was fraudulent, even though the procedures for it were largely the same. And we see a very different picture, 84% confidence, 14% doubts. Even among Republicans, where you might think that doubt would still linger, it's only 21% doubtful about the April election versus that 62% that were doubtful about 2020. So again, even within the Republican Party, where you might think electoral skepticism carries over, it's not nearly as prevalent. In fact, 76% of Republicans say they're confident about the April election. So I think there's a positive takeaway from this. Those who have worried that confidence in elections is broken and what does this mean for us as a society? Well, that confidence isn't broken. It's broken when your leaders tell you it's broken, but it's not broken in general, and it's not broken in the absence of a persistent rhetorical campaign to convince you that something's wrong.
Shocker that when Donald Trump's not on the ballot, people have more confidence. So that brings me to a natural question. I think, Charles, you polled about the Gableman investigation, the office of whatever, special counsel or whatever he's calling himself. Yeah. This investigation has lingered on and on. And are the people that you've polled in the state of Wisconsin, are they confident about the work product, about the outcome, about this guy, Gabelman? What's your interpretation using the analytics and the empirical evidence, Charles?
Disapproval is 2-1 over bigger than approval. Approve is just 13%. Disapprove 27, but maybe the shocker, 57% say they haven't heard enough about the Gabelman investigation to have an opinion. This has not been lacking for news coverage, has not been lacking for drama around the Capitol, including Donald Trump this week calling for that investigation to be extended. So it's a pretty prominent thing, and yet 57% haven't heard enough to have an opinion. What's more stunning to me is, as we were just talking about this, Republicans are very dubious about the 2020 election, and whether that's because their leaders say so or because they think that independently, the fact is there's a lot of skepticism in the GOP about 2020. And yet Republicans are the least likely to be aware of the Gabelman investigation. 64% of Republicans, two-thirds, say they haven't heard enough about it to have an opinion, even as two-thirds of Republicans are skeptical about the election outcome. So you would think the folks that were really concerned about that past election would also be paying a lot of attention to the investigation of it, but that's not the case. Now, Democrats aren't super aware either. 50% of them don't know enough about it, but still, that's half as opposed to two-thirds on the GOP side.
Charles, maybe a little much to ask, but did you cross-tab like the Rantham support with the Gabelman investigation support? Is there any crossover, cross-pollination, if you would, Charles?
Well, there's certainly a little bit, but Rantham's numbers are so low in both in vote support and in the people that are aware of him, because he's still pretty invisible to most folks. There's not much of a relationship just because there's so few people that are aware of him.
I gotcha. Charles Franklin, any other takeaways our audience should be aware of?
I think that what we're seeing on the turnout side is pretty important. I want to make sure that we said this, and I don't think we did, but within the Republican Party, those who are most skeptical about the election are much more enthusiastic about voting this fall. 69% very enthusiastic about among the least confident. Only 46% very enthusiastic among Republicans who are confident in the election outcome. So what does that mean? It means the primary may be more dominated by Trump-supporting election skeptics, but it means for the fall that what happens to those Republicans who are not very enthusiastic, who may not be that excited about supporting an election skeptic in the fall. So I think there are some general election issues as well as some primary election issues. Anybody that's attended a Republican event lately doesn't need to be told by me that people are pretty upset and vociferous in the party base. So I think this fits very well with that. But we've talked a lot about what happens to the suburbs. What happens in November if they're not enthusiastic?
Charles Franklin, thank you so much. As always, more Devil's Advocates. Dom joins.